Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer.
No, I'm not here. I'm an illusion.
Oh, you're AI.
I'm holistic.
holistic. You mean you're eating well?
Yes, I am. Gotcha. I'm enjoying the parts of things and trying to relate them to the whole.
All right. We have the Sunbury Motor Company as our sponsor. We thank them for joining us and being part of the show. With that, we welcome our guest on the show. Branton Gassaway is here. He's a professor of religious studies at Bucknell University, expert in the intersection of politics and religion, and has been following up on what is candidate Mastriano, who is a Christian nationalist.
Well, they claim he is. He hasn't espoused that.
Well, he hasn't said anything. So, well, let's let
Dr. Brantley tell us what's...
So, good morning, Dr. Brantley. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I really do appreciate it.
And so do I.
Is Doug Mastriano a Christian nationalist?
And what is a Christian nationalist?
Well, that's a good question. It's the age-old question. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it might be a duck. you are very right that he has denied the label of being a Christian nationalist. But by every measure, as we as scholars use that term, he would check all the boxes. And we talk about a Christian nationalist as somebody who sees America as a Christian nation and thinks that the government should privilege Christianity, Christian norms, Christian cultural morality in very specific kind of ways. And so Doug Mastriano's campaign has been probably the most explicitly Christian of any statewide campaign that I have seen in the last 20 or 30 years.
Well, that's an interesting take. I mean, Mastriano certainly has support from what those people would be. But, you know, is that really a bad thing? I mean, does it mean that they would be usurping other people's rights, taking from people things that they deserve?
That's a great question. And so, it's certainly not an undemocratic thing in many ways, right? He has very much used his appeal to conservative Christians to draw the support of people again across the state. Many of his rallies are very almost like worship events. I've watched several of his gatherings. Often they'll open with prayers. There will be Christian music leaders there, and people really have a sense that, from their perspective, that God is active in blessing Mastriano's campaign. I think that the concern from critics is thinking about in what ways does he translate his Christian commitments into policies, and so how would they inform his decisions around all the culture war issues. He has called the separation of church and state, for example, a myth. And what I think by that, what he means by that, is not that he actually wants an established form of Christianity that is formally enforced by the government, but he very much believes that Christianity should influence politics, and so there's not a separation in that realm. But people are worried that his policies are going to be based on his religious views, and that would become exclusive in a kind of a setting where people think that nobody should impose their religious views on other people.
Well, they felt the same way about John Kennedy back in the early 60s when he ran for president, that a Catholic couldn't possibly allow other people to have their freedom of choice. And yet he, and Joe Biden for that matter, traditionally have not placed their religion at the forefront. Why would you assume, or why would anybody assume, that Mastriano would do that?
Well, I think that's a great point, right? I mean, the relationship between religion and politics, church and state, is just a long-standing issue, right? And you bring up a great example of Catholic, the Catholic identity of JFK. It's always fascinating. I when I'm teaching about this with students, I always emphasize that religious minorities usually really emphasize the separation of church and state, because that's to their advantage, of course, right? So, you know, Kennedy, of course, speaking as a Catholic, was trying to talk to a Protestant majority country, and so he wanted to assure them that, you know, their fears or concerns about his Catholicism was not going to influence his presidency. When you're part of a religious majority, right, when you're part of something you see as more mainstream Protestant Christianity, often you can use that to appeal to voters, because they can identify that in certain kind of ways. And so I think the real concern, again, from critics is, okay, how is he going to translate his religious views on abortion, on transgender rights issues, on other kinds of subjects? How does he translate that particularly to policies? And he uses very spiritualized language, I think, when he talks about his campaign. He's framed his campaign as almost a battle of good versus evil, as almost spiritual warfare. One quote that he has that I have in front of me, he said, "The forces of darkness are hitting us really hard right now. We're going to bring the state back to righteousness. This is our day, our hour, to take the state back and renew the blessings of America." And so for people who are not Christian, or people who are or don't want the influence of religion in politics, that kind of language is something that seems very concerning to them.
Now, what if somebody says, well, we are a Christian nation, our founding fathers were Christians? We hear that myth all the time. What do you say to that, that we are somehow beholden to Christian ideals because that's what our founding fathers were?
Yeah, that, you know, the label of Christian nation is really an ambiguous one, right? So there are many ways that we could say, yes, we were founded as a Christian nation, if we mean demographically the majority of the founding fathers and the population was Christian. Certainly Christian principles and values and assumptions underlay much of the vision that the founders had for what it means to have virtuous citizenry that could make democracy possible. But at the same time, the founders were very clear when it came to the federal government, that Christianity would not be privileged in any kind of way, right? So they put into the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, so maximizing individual religious liberty, but not wanting to privilege any religion, Christianity, in the public sphere. And so people play, you can cherry pick from the founders different things to build a case either for or against America being a Christian nation. And so I think it is disingenuous for critics to say, no, the founders did not, you know, support Christianity. Many of them did. Many of them supported established forms of Christianity at a state level. But I think it's an overstatement to say, well, the founding fathers wanted America to be a Christian nation, and therefore we need to keep Christianity privileged in order to retain the inherent DNA or identity of America.
Well, that's a nice answer, Brantley.
I hope it's a diplomatic one.
We're both right.
Yeah, well, and that's what I think is you know, history is complex, right? And there's different ways to read it and interpret it. So one of the fascinating things I've seen in Mastriano's campaign, when he's out speaking at events, he will often tell a story, and it's true, but it's also a myth. You use that term, right? It's a myth that is powerful about origins, right? And so he will say, you know who founded Pennsylvania? William Penn. William Penn had this vision for Pennsylvania being a light of liberty, a place where Christianity and religion would flourish. And so he talks about, you know, this kind of almost Christian vision of William Penn for Pennsylvania, of course implying that somehow that is still relevant and should still be true today. But, you know, William Penn was a complicated figure, right? He was a Quaker. He was religiously tolerant in many respects. He wanted Pennsylvania to be a haven for religious dissenters, of theists of all kind. And so, you know, grounding contemporary politics in the vision of William Penn, long before the United States ever formed as a nation, right? I mean, there's a couple interesting rhetorical strategic moves that are going on when he tells that story.
And then there's Cotton Mather to deal with.
That's right. Well, you know, and so when we talk about the Puritans, right? You know, the Puritans, you know, this kind of simplistic view. Oh, they came over to America for religious liberty. Well, yes, their religious liberty, right? They were often very intolerant of people who did not conform to their understanding. They did want to have enforced forms of Christian worship and morality and Sabbath observance and different things. And so, you know, the tension between religious freedom and religious tolerance is one that has played out in many different ways throughout American history.
Let me ask this real quick question on this very topic.
How did we ever end up where we evolved, where the Republicans claim the religious right today, and Democrats somehow are thought to necessarily be secular or sort of half Christian?
Right. I mean, you know, it's fascinating. A lot of the shifts that have occurred where we get our kind of, again, a very broad, and I would say there are certain stereotypes that contain truth, right, where more religious people, particularly conservative religious Christians, identify with Republicans, support Republicans, and more religiously liberal people and non-religious people identify with and support Democrats. And a lot of that came out of the shifts in the 1960s and 1970s in partisan politics, right? It's too simplistic to say the debate around abortion caused that, but that was really a moment of synergy when Republicans began to appeal to conservative Christians. They saw advantages in attracting conservative Christians around issues of public morality, around anti-feminism, around anti-gay rights, around pro-life, anti-legalized abortion, right? So you had a movement beginning there of Christians towards, conservative Christians towards Republicans. And you really had Democrats embracing a more secular kind of vision for what America should be. They began to appeal to more religiously liberal Christians, to religious minorities in different ways. And the debates around abortion have been probably the most symbolic divide, although there's a lot of deeper kind of issues as well concerning the role of the state. Conservative Christians tend to be more libertarian with respect to how they understand the role of the government, and so they want a more limited government, which pushes them also towards Republicans. Issues for religious liberals, often around social justice, they've seen a larger role of the state in contributing to their vision for what a just America should look like, and that's made them more supportive of Democrats over the last 40 years or so.
Let me ask you this. Does morality issues, if you want to discuss something in purely moral terms, is that harder for someone who wants separation of church and state? Because you almost have to make a religious argument when you're talking about morality, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, and so I joke with students that everybody, whether they know it or not, everybody inserts their ethical or religious moral vision into their political sphere, right? When you have debates about what is the common good, right? That's not an objective debate, right? I mean, that involves kind of metaphysical understandings of what is a just society, right? And I would say that people across all partisan divides would claim that they're equally committed to social justice. They just define that very differently, and they have very different means of how social justice should be achieved. So, you know, I would say it's important to recognize that people, critics who say, oh, well, you know, keep your religion out of politics. Well, again, maybe explicit appeals to doctrinal statements or Bible verses or something like that. But when people are appealing to their understanding of what a just society should be, that has an ethical framework that, again, is equally religious, even if they're not citing Bible verses or Catholic social teaching in some kind of realm.
Can any religious person get elected today? We have Josh Shapiro is devoutly Jewish, and
yes.
So now anybody can get in.
At a state level, yes. And so, if your question is about, we in Pennsylvania, we've had a number of prominent Jewish politicians, of course, over the years. And Josh Shapiro has been open in his campaign about identifying with his Jewish faith and tradition and saying that this is how it shapes his values. And he's always tried to shape that, right, as an inclusive kind of message. on a national level, we have never had any kind of Christian who is not any kind of president who is not claimed to be a Christian, and I think there are still probably barriers in many people's mind to electing religious minorities, non-Christians, to high offices. That'll vary, state to state in certain ways. Obviously, states that are higher in demographics with respect to Protestant Christians, particularly in the South. It would be harder for candidates who are not Christian to probably succeed, and that's why many candidates, both Democrats and Republicans, often talk about their Christian faith in states like Alabama, in states like Georgia, in states like North Carolina, in those kind of respects.
Well, 50 years ago, we put that one to bed when we elected Milton Schaap as governor of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
But now here we have, for the first time, a member of the Muslim faith, running for the United States Senate. And I've been surprised. We get a lot of calls in this program. Once in a while, maybe one or two times, no more than that, somebody has raised the issue of his religion. And, he is raising his children as Christian, which I think is interesting. So, what do you see with the intersection of someone to the Muslim faith running for national office?
Right. Oz is really downplayed his Muslim identity, right? Because there's very little strategic benefit to it, and I don't mean that in any kind of critical way, right? I mean, he wants to be elected, and so he's going to make the kind of arguments that he thinks are going to be most persuasive to the most number of people. But I do think it's significant that Republican supporters, in particular, have not held that against him, and I think that's largely because Oz is not very visibly Muslim. He's not particularly devout or traditional, I would say. And I think that if his Muslim faith was more central to his identity and it was more visibly part of his daily life, or he invoked it explicitly with respect to his campaign, I think that for some people, that would raise concerns. And so, again, we have this fascinating juxtaposition of Oz's campaign, the Republican nominee for the Senate, right, a Muslim, and then Mastriano's campaign, the Republican nominee for the governor's level, right? So Oz is barely talking about religion for understandable reasons as a religious minority, whereas Mastriano is talking about it all the time because that's central to his vision for himself and his campaign.
Finally, one other sort of only semi-related question, politics from the pulpit. How did we ever evolve where you couldn't mention presidential or governmental or partisan politics in the pulpit? It seems to me that the two are somehow intertwined.
You can, but you'll lose your religious exemption.
Right.
It's really about the tax code, right? So they don't want tax-exempt organizations like religious bodies, churches, making endorsements of candidates. So pastors, priests are very much allowed to talk about issues and talk about a kind of broad kind of political priorities and things like that. They are prohibited by something called the Johnson Amendment from actually formally endorsing politicians in an official capacity. Now, lots of pastors and priests and others, religious leaders, walk a line there. They usually make it very clear who they would support by talking about what positions they support, what policies they support. But I think most people, some people complain about that, but I think there's also broadly an understanding that there seems to be some advantage in not having formal endorsements of religious leaders who, again, hold significant influence over religious followers, right? Endorsing candidates and perhaps encouraging them, maybe even persuading them, requiring them in some kind of level to vote in a particular way. I think that's also one of the concerns.
Anything else you'd like to tell us? Maybe we did not ask something that's top of the mind that you'd like to share.
I appreciate this conversation, and I think that it's going to be fascinating, right? We're having this conversation on the day of the election to see what the results, particularly in the governor's race for Pennsylvania, is going to be, right, tonight. And my sense is that there are just as Trump surprised a lot of people winning Pennsylvania in 2016, right, despite most polls suggesting he would not. it will be interesting to see if there is some kind of similarity where Mastriano significantly outperforms polls. And I think his campaign is counting on that. And so we will have to wait and see how that plays out.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you. And I noticed when Ed Rendell was elaborating on the letter they sent, he said, when Doug Mastriano loses the election, he hope he accepts it. I thought, wow.
Well, just out of curiosity, there were a lot of people who wouldn't admit that they were going to vote for Donald Trump. Do you think that same thing might be true of Mastriano?
I don't know if it's my suspicion in a negative way, of course, not meaning that negative way, right? But I wonder if that same phenomenon might come true. That again, there are people because Mastriano has been labeled as politically extreme, right? I mean, Toomey hasn't endorsed him formally. I mean, there are other kind of ways that more kind of traditional mainstream Republicans have distanced themselves from Mastriano. And so I'm wondering if there is this level of, you know, we're not going to openly talk about it. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to show up in poll numbers. But there is kind of a quiet support that polls haven't captured that may come out in the voting booth today.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your information. Come and visit us as time permits in the future. We'd love to chat with you again.
Yeah, fascinating discussion. Thank you, Doctor.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I hope you have a good day.
You too.
Thank you. Dr. Brantley Gassaway, a professor of religious studies at Bucknell University. And, boy, just tremendous insights into our topic election day. We would love to hear your reaction to what you have heard and your thoughts about Election Day 2022, midterm Election Day. Give us a buzz, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-291-7163. That's 800-291-7163. 800-291-7163. Call now.
Rob tried to manage his constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating day after day. After realizing it was irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, he found another way and finally said yes to adding Linzess.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Nathan Davis on Bucknell Basketball, Neil Coulong in the NFL today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070, WKOK.
All right. One of our good listeners says, wow, being a Christian is a bad thing? I see this guy as your typical leftist.
I didn't get that
Dr.
Cassidy.
Well, but you see, if you are religiously intolerant, anybody who is tolerant was going to sound like a typical leftist.
I think he answered the questions right down the line. I'm sorry. I'm a conservative Republican. I don't think at all that he came across as
a
leftist. Oh, okay. That false religion.
That tainted
the Great Horror of Babylon,
right,
or something?
That tainted your hearing.
Right. Taint nothing wrong with my hearing.
Right. Bob, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Of course, I think how you're raised, of course, in which church you were brought up in and how, the culture around you, and at that point, of course, we're adults now, and, of course, we're going to vote, and I think when it comes to that, even though it's not direct religion, whatever, but the thing is, if you have to make a decision in life, no matter what, you're going to go back to the background that you were raised.
Excellent point. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to rely on that, so I think you're right. All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thanks
All
for
right,
calling.
Thank you.
Take care.
Paul, you're on the mark from Berwick, PA. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. Good morning. The establishment clause of the Bill of Rights is not talking about Christianity. It's talking about specific groups like Congregationalists, their hierarchy, the Anglican hierarchy, whatever. They were Christians persecuting other Christians, and that's what we were prohibiting. And in Europe, Lutherans and Catholics were fighting wars for years, and Catholics and Anglicans in England, and they were all Christians. The Establishment Clause is not preventing Christianity. Christianity is not a single unit, a single organization. And I would remind you all that every president has taken his oath on the Bible, okay? This is a tradition, and what does it mean? It means he's pledging to tell the truth, and so forth, and so the Bible's taken as a standard of truth, and so you can use the Bible in formulating your ideas of life and reality and morality and so forth, and when you go to the polls, you can vote according to what your beliefs are, okay? If you're a barbarian, you can vote because you're a barbarian,
Go Mastriano.
So, what's that?
I said, go Mastriano.
He's a barbarian.
Well, this thing of calling Mastriano a Christian nationalist, this is a political hit job on him. And again, as I've tried to point out before, if you have the lowest standard of morality for public education, do not tax me to support. That's your religion. I do not have to support teaching children immorality, okay? So the public school is null and void at that point, because we're not going to let you educate our children on immorality.
All right, we'll have to stop you at the end of that sentence.
Feel free to call back.
This is WKOK Sunbury. Yeah, call back.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It's election day, and Americans are lining up at the polls to vote for ballot issues, local races, and of course, on the federal level, 435 House seats are up for grabs, and there are 35 Senate races. Our team coverage begins with CBS's Wendy Gillette in Pennsylvania.
In the toss-up Pennsylvania Senate race between Democrat John Fetterman and Republican Mehmet Oz, it may come down to undecided voters like Pam Janovac.
I purposely wait until the day before election because everybody's said all of the foolish things they're going to say in debates, and everybody's had their ads out there, and then I feel like I can look at everybody's track record.
She's still on the fence, unlike Julie Brewer, who votes the straight Democratic Party line.
I mean, I have faith in the people of Pennsylvania, to make the right decision.
I'm Jim Krasul in Atlanta. There's already talk in this battleground state of possible December runoff elections in the closely watched U.S. Senate and gubernatorial races. Republican Governor Brian Kemp is facing a challenge from Democrat Stacey Abrams in a repeat of their 2018 showdown. Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock is being challenged by former football player Herschel Walker.
I'm Steve Futterman in Las Vegas. The race here in Nevada could determine which party controls the U.S. Senate.
I think we know that the eyes of the country are going to be on us.
The polls show the battle between Democrat incumbent Catherine Cortez Masto and Republican challenger Adam Laxalt to be virtually a dead heat. This woman supports Masto.
What's your perception? How close a race is this?
Really close. Like, I have no idea who's going to win.
And this man has no idea who he will vote for.
I haven't made my choice yet. It's up in the air still.
Well, we've got comprehensive election coverage all day on CBS and the CBS News streaming network. North Korea says no, it's not shipping weapons to Russia for use in Ukraine. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Pyongyang insists it has never had arms dealings with Russia and has no plans to do so. The U.S. insists it has been channeling the weapons through countries in the Middle East and North Africa. North Korea was one of the only countries to recognize the independence of breakaway regions of Ukraine.
Tesla's recalling 40,000 vehicles. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
These particular Model S and Model X vehicles can lose power steering assist after they hit a pothole or on rough roads.
It's Tesla's 17th recall of the year. If you were hoping to fly off to a faraway island because you won Powerball, you'll have to wait. Last night's drawing didn't happen because of some security issues. Lotto says it's likely they'll know the results a little later on today. They'll be posted to their website. This is CBS News.
America's midterms, with so much at stake, count on CBS News for fair, accurate results in real time. Watch today on CBS and streaming all day.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Well, kids and teens are spending a whole lot of time looking at screens.
The study analyzed dozens of previous studies around the world. It took into account the substantial changes in daily life, including remote learning, and it found a larger-than-expected average increase of 52% in screen time, especially among adolescents. Researchers suggested that post-pandemic, the focus should be redirected toward promoting healthy device habits like moderating daily use and content, and promoting more in-person interactions. The study appears in the latest edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association, Pediatrics. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
Here's a sweet incentive to go vote. Krispy Kreme is giving everyone a free donut. You just need to swing by your local Krispy Kreme on the way to or from the polls. That's it. You don't need to buy anything at all. But think of how nice it would be to bring some extras in for your coworkers today. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Open wide. Let me see that smile.
There's a back-to-school braces boom at Doc Kelly's office.
Can you hold on for a sec? Can someone bring me more brackets?
She needs to realign her staffing plan with more registered dental assistants.
Can you reorder the rubber bands in red?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Gah! I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending Uma and their all-in-one phone, video, and collaboration solution.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma, smart communications for the smarter business.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. Lines are open. It is Election Day, midterm Election Day 2022. We'd love to hear from you on the topics of your favorite discussion. We had a great professor on the show earlier today, and we have some reaction to that, so we'll play that on the radio, and we would love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915. We'll hear lots more about them as our show progresses this morning. And we do have some very brief news headlines. Penn Live reporting this morning, the truck driver who admitted killing a New York City model and dumping her body in Union County has been sentenced to up to 80 years in a state prison. Tracy Ray Rollins, Jr., age 30, of Dallas, Texas, was sentenced by Judge Michael Shalley. Rollins had pleaded guilty in September to third-degree murder and 20 counts of abuse of a corpse. He had shot the model 26 times before dumping her body near the Mile Run exit of Interstate 80. The Hill is reporting the U.S. Justice Department announced Monday they would monitor election sites in 24 different states, including Pennsylvania, to ensure compliance with voting rights laws. Since the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the Civil Rights Division has regularly monitored elections in the field and jurisdictions around the country to protect the rights of voters, wrote the Department of Justice in a statement. Civil Rights Division of the DOJ also announced it would accept public complaints through its call center. The Pennsylvania jurisdictions being monitored include Berks County, Center, Lehigh, Luzerne, and Philadelphia County. Yeah, they're going to have a meltdown in Philadelphia. The Sealand-Scarver Area School District says it's now conducting an investigation following acts of vandalism found Friday in the visitors' locker room at Milton's Alumni Field.
Sealand-Scarver School District officials say its administration is, quote, holistically addressing the situation and is focused on evaluating the totality of information related to the incident. They say any and all wrongdoings, quote, will be rectified with Milton and will, quote, exhibit an appropriate level of accountability. Milton District officials reported Sunday night the vandalism was found moments after the Sealands Grove football team departed from the game following their 30-0 playoff win over Milton Friday night. The district says the damage found is, quote, consistent with pictures shared on various social media sites. The photos, which have been already deleted but are still being shared elsewhere on social media, accuse Sealands Grove players intentionally urinating on the Milton locker room floor, among other things. Alumni Stadium just completed its first fall sports season after being renovated. Matt Catrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Pennsylvania's four living governors Monday sent a letter to the main party candidates vying for the position of governor on November 8th ballot today. In their one-page letter to Democrat Josh Shapiro and Republican Doug Mastriano, former governors Tom Ridge, Mark Schweiker, Ed Randell, and Tom Corbett said the state election process will be open and transparent and overseen by thousands of Pennsylvanians who care deeply about fairness. The letter comes less than 24 hours before Pennsylvanians headed to the polls today. The state's marquee races, those for governor and U.S. Senate, are being closely watched nationally and have been held up as a referenda on abortion, ballot access, and the integrity of the democratic process. And, of course, inflation is the biggie. All right. Voters are considering legalizing pot and psychedelic mushrooms in the midterm elections. There are some interesting ballot measures in today's midterm election. Five states are voting to legalize pot. Voters in the Dakotas, Arkansas, Missouri, and Maryland will decide whether they want to make getting stoned for fun legal. Colorado is voting to legalize psychedelic mushrooms. The voters in five states, including Alabama and Oregon, will decide whether to ban slave labor as part of a punishment for a crime for paying off debts. Wow.
Who knew? I was more interested in the fact that you said four living past governors. I would have been astounded if four dead past governors wrote that letter.
Well, these are the only four living governors we have.
Is that all? So. Seriously, is that all? I thought there were some other ones.
Bob Casey Sr. died not too long ago.
Right. Was Schweiker? Isn't Schweiker still alive?
Yeah, he's there. He's on the list.
Okay, Schweiker, Corbett.
Ridge.
And
Rendell.
And Rendell.
Thornburg's gone.
There was somebody else, though. Okay, never mind. I just thought there were more than that.
Well,
I could
look
be
it
wrong.
Up.
I will. How many living governors of Pennsylvania are there? Well, there's one now, Wolf.
All right, and soon there'll be another.
That's true.
The polls say Shapiro, but you just never know. That's why you do the voting. All right, finally, some good news. Are you ready, Joe?
I'm ready for some good news.
Good news.
Right. What?
Former President Donald Trump said Monday he'll make a very big announcement on November 15th from his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. He teased the announcement during a rally for Republican candidates in Dayton, Ohio. He says, quote, not to detract from tomorrow's very important, even critical election. I would say in the strongest way, it's a country-saving election. I'm going to be making a very big announcement Tuesday, November 15th at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, unquote, Trump said. As CBS News has previously reported, three Trump advisors and a Republican Party operative said President Trump is considering announcing another bid for the White House in the weeks following the Tuesday midterms. The former president has been calling his donor base to inform loyalists he's thinking of it and soliciting feedback. Last week, President Trump strongly indicated that he was inclined to announce in the near future, telling rally goers in Iowa, I will very, very probably do it again. Get ready. Trump appeared to hint at the possibility again Monday night in Ohio. This year, we're going to take back the House, we're going to take back the Senate, and we're going to take back America. And in 2024, most importantly, we're going to take back our magnificent White House. We'll take it back.
Well, fascinatingly enough, there's a story this morning that you will find very intriguing. Liberal media figures and Democratic politicians are questioning the intelligence of Americans who are voting Republican, befuddled by the idea that some could put economic issues over concerns about, quote, the state of U.S. democracy. While voting rights and threats to democracy are key voting issues, especially among Democratic voters, polling has repeatedly shown that issues such as the economy, inflation, crime, abortion are often outperform the former. However, this has not stopped many media figures and Democrats from blasting their warnings about Republican lawmakers across the airwaves. I love this one. Over the weekend, left-wing documentary filmmaker Michael Moore gave his final push to vote Democrat ahead of the midterms, but in doing so claimed that 80 to 90 million Americans aren't very bright. No offense to any of you watching that aren't bright, but you're watching MSNBC, so I'm making the assumption you know what's going on. There's an assumption I wouldn't make.
All right, well, he's not speaking for anybody.
No, but they go on to quote people from The View and a number of other places where people on the left are saying that if you're voting Republican, you don't understand. You're just too dumb to understand what's really at stake here. Biden has said the same thing. Oh, you poor Republicans, you don't understand.
You don't get it. Yeah, you've said that to me a couple of times.
Well, I think the Democrats understand what they're voting for, and I think the Republicans understand what they're voting for. We disagree. That's why they're two separate parties.
And there should be more.
Right. There should be more. Thank you, Cindy.
Right. I want to join the Bull Moose Party. Is it too late?
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
All right. Right here, and then we'll get to the phones.
All right. I guess I've said, I did it for us. I voted blue for me and you. You're welcome.
Okay. Says
hey, Bob, I canceled you out. I voted red.
Oh, no. Yeah, my father says...
What is it? Better red than dead?
My father says he's going to cancel me out later. All right. We'll go to Stan is our first caller of the day, and there's another one coming in. Go ahead,
no,
Stan.
No, he's our second caller.
Yeah.
Oh, good second, morning. True. As far as the... I voted today early. I think I was 42 or 49, but whatever. I voted red because I don't want the country to die. You know, vote red or the country's dead. That's my motto.
That's funny.
You know, as far as the Democrats calling people stupid, Sonny Hostin of The View, or The Herd, however you want to look at it, called women voting Republican, they're like cockroaches voting for Raid. That's how she described them last week.
That is how she described. That was the next item down in my story. It's just so incredible to me. She should have been thrown off the air.
Exactly. She's a disgusting human being, and maybe not even human, but that she's a disgusting being, you know, equating women to cockroaches. If a Republican did that, they would have been drummed out of whatever they were doing in minutes. But that's neither here nor there. Now,
but that is here. That is here nor there. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, and that should happen, but it won't because, you know, who runs the media? Okay, it's just the way it is. They pretty much all agree with it.
So Democrats are the primary perpetrators of vitriolic remarks. Is that
who runs the media, Mark?
Well, who's the perpetrator?
It sure isn't conservative Republicans, is it?
Well, I heard about these remarks, so it must have snuck through the liberal media somehow and made it past the gatekeepers.
It was broadcast during their show.
Right.
So anybody that watched it, it's out there. Right. They're not hiding it. See, that's the thing. They're not hiding their disdain for the people of this country.
Gotcha.
All right. Now, Fetterman, okay, he's joined a lawsuit about counting votes, the mail-in ballots that aren't properly filled out. So what, we want to elect a person to the U.S. Senate that doesn't want to follow the law of the legislature per the Constitution? Is that where we're up to now?
Well, I think a lot of people have come out in favor of counting the dateless ballots. Didn't Oz say that we should count the dateless ballots?
I believe he did.
I think he thinks they should be counted. Well, because
they didn't say don't count them. They're segregating them. I mean, the court will have to decide what's done with them.
Right, but that if the signatures match. But, you know, a lot of people feel that way. A lot of elected people or people who wish to be elected today think the dateless ballots should be counted. Probably half do and half don't. But it isn't strictly along party line.
Personally, I don't want them counted. They can't follow the law and the instructions, which are real simple. Sorry, that's their problem.
Yeah, but how?
And it'll affect both parties, right? It'll affect both parties, so it's nonpartisan issue. They shouldn't be counted if you can't follow the law.
Yeah, but Stan, if you are a Republican or a Democrat and you're mailing in your ballot and it says put the date here in order for it to be valid, how are you supposed to know that you're supposed to put the date there?
Oh, gee, you mean put the date there when it's written there that you're supposed to put it there? You can't read? If you can't read, you shouldn't be filling out the ballot.
Yeah, this is a pickle. No doubt about it.
No, it's not a pickle. It's the law.
Well, but the courts
are... once again, the Democrats are suing to violate the law, just like they did in 2020.
Here we go.
No, not here we go, Mark. It's the truth. The courts and the Secretary of State and the governor have no authorization or right to change election law. That is up to the state legislature.
Actually,
per the U.S. Constitution, which is supreme law of the land.
No, you think that they shouldn't change election law, and that's 100% true, and I feel the same way. But the courts actually said, nope, actually, truth be told, it's perfectly legal. What they did was legal. It may not be right.
In the Constitution,
it may not be right.
Do the courts have the right or the duty or the job of writing legislation, which is what they did?
For what? For the election law? Or you mean
anything,
the redistricting?
Any law. That's why Roe v. Wade was both gotten rid of, because they have no right or duty or authority to make law, which is what they did under Roe v. Wade.
Stan, I won't disagree with what you're saying, that it was the law and it was there, but what purpose does it...
Which law, Mark? Which law, Joe?
The one about writing the ballot, having the address, the date on the front of the ballot. But, I mean, bottom line is, all right, so that was the law, but what difference does it make? What did that provide that wouldn't be gained by opening the ballot and reading the inside of it? Why is that necessary?
How do we know that the person inside is the same as the one outside?
Because they match up the signatures.
Because the only thing that matters is...
But if there's no signature or date, how are they going to do that, Mark?
There's a signature on the ballot,
isn't
there?
Signatures are discarded. It's just the date. If you don't have a signature...
No, there's a signature and a date on the outside of the ballot, correct?
Right. If you don't have a signed ballot, it doesn't count. That's the end of that. Now, you have some counties curing them, and that's not even across the state, so that should be remedied.
That should be stopped.
Right. They should remedy that.
So which other law will I be allowed to violate?
Well, in Philadelphia, that people lined up to put dates on their ballots. So let's get this fixed.
Ever park at a parking meter and not put money in, taking your chances?
I'm not allowed to violate that law because I've gotten tickets because of that. Even though I tried to put money in, and in Jim Thorpe, I stood there and put dollar after dollar, and I lost over a dollar in one of their meters, and it read 50 minutes, and it should have read like 2-3 hours.
Right.
And they gave me a ticket.
Call.
I had to pay it, even though they did.
Fair enough.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling
in.
Have
a great day.
You too.
Go red or the country's dead.
There we go. That's the way to be. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Stand by Dan and Chris and whomever else is dialing in. We'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
For over 200 years, we have had a peaceful transition of power in this country. Until January 6, 2021. Lies and disinformation were used to incite violence and stop the certification of the 2020 election. My opponent voted to overthrow your vote and stop your vote from being certified. His poor judgment should have consequences. According to OpenSecrets.org, a nonprofit website, most of his contributions come from corporate political action committees and even Koch Industries that was founded by the billionaire Koch brothers. The Republican Accountability Project gave Thompson an F for voting against our certification of electoral votes of Pennsylvania and other states and signed on to a Texas lawsuit against Pennsylvania. On November 8th, I'm asking for your vote for Congress and the Constitution. I'm Mike Malasevich, and I approve this message, and I hope to have your vote on November 8th, paid for by friends of Mike Malasevich, PA 15.
Last year, protecting ourselves from COVID also helped keep flu cases down. This year, flu shots are our best shot at protection. Luckily, you can get yours free at any Geisinger doctor's office, Geisinger pharmacy, and for those 9 and older, any convenient care location. If you haven't had your flu shot, now's the time. It's 2022. Make the flu stop with you. Your holidays would not be complete without visiting Gracie's Flowers and Gifts for their annual holiday open house. It's November 11th from 8:30 till 7 and the 12th from 8:30 till 5. With a large selection of holiday ornaments like snowmen, Santas, angels, sports ornaments, there's something for everyone on your list and ideas to decorate your home. Visit Gracie's Flowers and Gifts on November 11th and 12th for their annual holiday open house. Light refreshments, special sales, and/or prizes with no purchase necessary. Gracie's Flowers, Market Street in Seals Grove, and Gracie'sFlowers.com. Holiday tradition starts here.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dan, very patient, he is, but now he's on the radio. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, Professor did a fairly good job explaining Christianity in America. There was two areas where I disagreed. Number one, Mastriano is not a Christian nationalist. He's far from it. He would not promote, I call him pretty close to what I believe in, the fundamentals of Scripture having to do with Christianity. He would not establish a fundamentalist America. He likes it the way it is, only we haven't been open. The Bible believing Christianity is getting marginalized all the time, more and more by the lefts, and by the view you gentlemen talked about, the view you see what they think of anybody that believes in fundamental Christianity. They really have very little tolerance for it. So I disagree with the professor there. And on William Penn, now I know he was a Quaker, but you can be a Quaker and be a Bible-believing Christian, be born again, be saved. And William Penn certainly was. If you read his writings, they were writings like I would write, or what Billy Graham would write, or what any evangelical born-again Christian would write. They're right on the target. And you can be a fundamentally saved Christian no matter which church you belong to. You can be saved if you're Catholic. You can be saved if you're whatever. And now, Mastriano is not a Christian nationalist. I disagree with that part. And I disagree with William Penn part that you can't, you can be a completely saved Christian despite where you belong.
Well, I think Doug Mastriano certainly denies that he's a Christian nationalist, and so you have to believe
him. He isn't one, no.
Right,
he would not establish fundamental Christianity like I believe, and I wouldn't either, as the national right way of Christianity, even though I believe it is. He would not establish that. As your friend Paul was mentioning, like if Episcopalian could rule, they would establish their religion, Christianity is the right version.
Whereas
we don't want that done. We don't want Catholicism established as a national religion. I don't even want what I believe to force down everybody's throat. I want them to take it at willingly or not take it at all. You have to see through these things yourself, through the scripture.
Incidentally,
the bottom line.
You may be interested to know that William Penn espoused a Quaker Puritan morality and expressed a qualified anti-Trinitarianism.
Oh, wow.
So he didn't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Not what I read.
Well,
you read
wrong.
I can't argue with you, but I read a lot of William Penn's writings. And you could be right, and I could be wrong. I may be crazy, but what I read about William Penn, that he did, all I ever read, that he did believe in the pure Christianity,
Who wrote it? What historian?
I can't remember, Joe. I wish I could. But I could be wrong.
I might be wrong
on that one. But what I read about him, but nevertheless, even in spite of that, he gave us a state where everybody was welcome.
Right. He did espouse religious.
Amish.
He did espouse religious tolerance. So.
Amen. And that's what
that's the important point.
Basically, what Mastriano espouses: tolerance for all of us, and not to establish even what I believe is what I believe I'm right.
Well, tolerance is usually expressed with compassion for the other person's view. I don't get from Mastriano a tolerance, a welcoming tolerance for other people's views. He seems to be pretty hard nosed.
You have to have a belief system. You can't just go out there and be a secular humanist and say, I believe this, I believe that. You have to have a foundation to believe in. You have to have an established foundation, which we as Christians more or less, some more, some less, believe the Holy Scriptures is the foundation of truth. There is no other truth.
And some people doubt that, you know, and then that's the problem.
All right, we got to
go. You espouse that as an absolute, but many people, it's not an absolute.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for calling in.
Today, Joe, exactly our problem. We turned our back on absolute truth, so we're up there grasping for straws, say, this is right. No, you don't. I don't feel that way. Your feelings really don't matter. When you go to Scripture, that's absolute. That's
all
from
right,
our
got
heavenly
that. To you,
Father.
To you, that's the whole point.
That's absolute truth.
That's not.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank
not,
you, thank you, thank you, thank
exactly
you. Much
tolerance.
Appreciate it. Super job, Dan. Thank you so much. All right, Chris from Shamokin is next up. Go ahead, sir.
Mark and Joe and Mark, how are you?
Oh, it's Chris Elio.
Oh, Chris. Okay.
Took me a while to lock in on
recognize
that.
Recognize the voice.
Greetings, sir.
It's time to bring the truth. We were just hearing an awful lot about absolute truth. I am shocked and appalled that this country and these people, like these conservative people, especially these Christians, who want to espouse freedom and patriotism, and all they want to do is oppress people from being who they are. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I have one guy, the first person I heard, talking about, don't tax me for teaching immorality in schools. Who's teaching immorality in schools? What, to accept everyone as they are? Oh my God, what a horrible, un-Jesus-like thing to do. Are you kidding me? And then, furthermore, doesn't it sound an awful lot like slavery to have to, like, I'm a, what you would call a secular humanist, and I kind of feel like being someone who has read a lot of the Bible and a lot of theological studies, I kind of live the life of a Christian without actually all the kneeling and genuflecting and praising and giving up, you know, of myself to an entity that is all-powerful and all-knowing, but yet allows suffering before us constantly. What is going on? Like, what do you guys feel about this idea that Christianity is tantamount to slavery?
Oh, I disagree.
Well,
I suspect Mark does
how.
As well.
Give me a logical answer as to how.
How it's not slavery?
To a degree, yes.
You explain to me how it is, and then I'll tell you whether I agree with you or not. You're the one who's making a rather outrageous claim, not me.
Well, I just told you my idea of a you're dangling eternity in front of me.
Okay.
You either do these things or you're going to burn. Now I understand that it's a choice, so it's not true slavery. It's not like under penalty of death. You either do this or you die now. But according to most Christian religion, if you do not accept Christ, you burn. You go to the bad place. You go to the place where no one wants to be, supposedly. How is that not equivalent to being a slave under someone's thumb, being told if you don't do this, you will die? What's the difference? You tell me.
Well, the difference is, first of all, let's say we're a nation of laws. You're living under your definition of slavery. Any law that prevents you from doing what you want to do or that puts out some kind of punishment for you doing something is tantamount to slavery. That's not the case.
Well, yes,
you might
no.
want to rob
I
a bank.
I kind of agree with you there. I kind of agree with you there. To a degree, but it's different. Like, if I break a law, like if I'm speeding in my car and I get pulled over, I don't. It's not an end all be all. It's a, hey, you broke the law. You have to pay this fine. And I go, oh, okay.
Right.
I will pay this fine.
But it's a consequence.
I can argue that. There is no arguing with the Christian God.
Well, how do you know? Have you ever argued with him?
I'm only going based by the rules that you all place before me.
Well, I don't know. It depends. We have people call this program, and despite the fact, although today we opened up the topic of religion by having our guest, but there are some people who have called this show that believe that my faith is a false faith and I'm going to burn in hell because I subscribe to it. Mark is a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. We get along perfectly well. I have respect for his faith.
We worship meatloaf.
They worship meatloaf. We worship lasagna. So,
To be fair, I do like. I just want to preface by saying, and I know you both know me. I respect what anyone believes on its surface. Like, you believe what you want, that's fine. My biggest problem with this whole entire conversation, to be honest, is the fact that I have people on the air right now telling me that it's immoral to have gay people talk about being gay in schools. That I have people saying that we've lost the path to absolute truth, when in reality I live a more Christian life than a lot of the Christians that I know, and I'm a full-blown atheist. So I'm having a hard time understanding where we are as a country from this supposed moral standpoint.
But the difference
That's
here is that you're making value judgments about them, and they're making value judgments about me, about you. But I'm saying that I don't think we make those value judgments about people. I think faith is a very personal thing to me, and I'm prepared to account for my actions when I meet my maker, assuming there's a maker to meet to make you happy. So I'm going to have to justify my time here on Earth, as is everyone else, one way or another. Or if you're right, we just croak and go in the ground, and that's it.
So excellent. So great. So we're on a level playing field here. So now we can say then that what is the problem with, like, telling children that gay people exist?
It's not a problem to tell them that.
Hold on. And what is the problem with giving a woman a right to choose what they do with their body, one way or the other? Because let's be fair, you got to be fair, that all of these decisions are religious-based. They're morality-based. They're not freedom-based. They're definitely not freedom-based. They're definitely not American standard-based, unless we are going to go by the idea that we are a Christian nation, which we are not.
That's not true. You must have missed our earlier conversation with the religious professor from Bucknell.
Yeah, that's what started.
But I asked him specifically the question.
I don't need to have a conversation with a religious professor from Bucknell to know that.
I asked him you're not hearing my answer. The question I asked him was about the intersection between morality and religion. Can you have a moral argument without it becoming a religious argument?
We got to stop it there, Chris. Thank you so much, sir. Good
thank
to hear
you,
from you.
Yeah,
thank
take
you.
Care, Chris.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in.
Bye.
All right, Chris from Milton, nobody has to wait through two breaks, so you're the last caller before the break.
Oh, so then I'll be cut off after 33 minutes where everybody else got six. I understand.
Nope, you can have six. Quite all right.
What can you do about it, though? You can't.
Thanks for calling in.
Got all my boxes of Chinese ballots down to Philadelphia to be counted yesterday, and today I'm taking my truckload of illegal immigrants around to vote around here.
Okay.
I'm pleased to hear you admit this. I didn't think you'd ever admit it.
The Dominion machines to change all the votes.
Admission is the first step to rehabilitation.
You're on the road to redemption now that you've admitted your bad acts.
And I get a kick out of staying, getting so indignant about the intelligence, the statements of Democrats about Republicans, and the statements while denigrating Democrats just as much as self. That's always enjoyable.
Do you believe, Chris?
And he talks about how intelligent people are, and he doesn't know the difference between a signature and a date, apparently.
Do you believe that white suburban...
Either by judgment or by federal courts, that immaterial things should not prevent ballots from being counted. So if he can say the date's material, then... It can be used.
Chris, do you believe that white suburban women voting Republican is similar to cockroaches voting for insecticide?
And that they're voting to harm themselves. Yes, in that way, and that's what she meant, I assume.
So then you believe that 80 to 90 million Americans aren't very bright who vote Republican?
Oh, well, yeah. I think
they could do better.
80 million Americans are not very bright if you say the average brightness, 50% or less bright, and 50% or more bright. So half of America would be not as bright.
Well, good.
Now, I don't think all of them
Thank you,
be
Professor.
Republicans,
though. There. I'm glad to hear you say that. Not all of them are Republicans. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. That meets your definition of truth, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
I thought so.
I don't believe all Democrats are mentally ill either.
I have to pick with you.
What?
I looked at the article online, as much as they put online, of your supposed Republican platform that McCarthy talked about, and there were no real details there. We're going to cut spending, which translates to we're going to shut down the government and until Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security get cut, because they sure aren't cutting military spending, right?
We don't know
that.
That's
what they're going to cut, because that's what they've talked about cutting in the past.
You know, they don't call Social Security the third rail of American politics for no reason. No rational Republican has been espousing that.
They've touched it.
No Republicans calling for that.
They're going to shut down the government to get the enforced cuts.
They're talking about sunsetting regulations and laws, and that's not necessarily going to eliminate them. That just means they get reviewed.
I didn't say anything about that.
Well, that's what the Republicans are calling for, sunsetting a lot of this legislation.
What, the Social Security thing coming up every 5 years? Is that what you are calling changing, making regulations?
No, they're talking about sunsetting laws. In other words, every law you pass has an ending date.
Yes, but that did not say anything about what I just said, right? You're changing the subject to a different one?
No, I'm talking about what it is the Republicans are proposing to do. They're not talking about things out.
Not the ones I just mentioned. And they also, the second thing on his list was to have investigations. And he mentioned the Iraq, the ending of the war in Afghanistan. But, you know, it's the Green and Jordans of the world that control that in Republican politics. And it's going to be all political, just like they did with Benghazi.
And just like the January 6th, just like January 6th committee is.
Because Benghazi, as a brief incident overseas, is just like January 6th, where somebody tried to stop an election.
No, we're talking about whether or not it's fair or not, whether it's fair and balanced or not.
It's fair and balanced.
Oh, yeah, right.
All the testimony is from Republicans.
Right. How many Republicans are on the committee, real Republicans? None.
Three of them.
No, two.
It's a litmus test.
And they wouldn't let Jim Jordan on, who would have given it some balance.
Joe has a litmus test.
Yeah, Jim Jordan. Yeah. Joe, don't even go there.
Yeah, Joe, you know better. All right, 30
Jordan
more seconds.
Jordan never had an honest word in his life.
30 more seconds. Go ahead, Chris.
An honest thing to say in an investigation in his life.
What else you got?
He did was scream.
What happened?
What else they got? Well, I guess some Christians are more Christians than others.
You got your 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's
thank
true.
You.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, sir. Always
have a good one, Chris. Talk to you later.
All right, we got callers and texts and emails aplenty. We'll be right back.
At Fisher Investments, our clients know we have their backs.
How do your clients know that?
Because Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, the highest standard for a financial advisor. It means we're there for our clients and always put their interests first.
So wait, you do it because you have to?
No, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Our clients trust us with their retirement savings, and we know how important that responsibility is. So we take the time to really get to know them.
Get to know them how?
We make sure we understand their unique goals, finances, health, family, and lifestyle so we can tailor their portfolio to their specific needs. Our goal is to help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Gah! I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending Uma and their all-in-one phone, video, and collaboration solution.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Uma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Uma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Uma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
Dr. Travis Stork here to tell you about a great pain reliever called Salonpas Pain Relieving Patches. Salonpas is pain medicine in a patch. You stick it right on sore muscles for up to 8 hours. Clinical research has shown that people that used Salonpas reported less pain with improvement in mood, sleep, and the ability to work. Safe, effective relief is one peel in place away. Salonpas, it's good medicine.
Beko's new dishwashers use one-third the energy and half the water of U.S. standards for dishwashers. And from now until December 31st, you can save up to $200 in gift card rebates on eligible models. Visit Beko.com for more details.
Buying a home? Rocket Mortgage will cover 1% of your rate for the first year at no cost to you with Inflation Buster. That's more road trips, more front row seats. Plus, if rates drop within 3 years of your home purchase, you'll get exclusive savings when you refinance with Rate Drop Advantage. Save when you buy today and refinance tomorrow. Call 833-7-ROCKET today or visit inflationbuster.com to start saving.
For fees covered, rate, like date requirements, and other terms and conditions, visit inflationbuster.com. Call 1-833-7-ROCKET, equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 33.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Nathan Davis on Bucknell Basketball, Neil Coulong in the NFL today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070, WKOK.
All right. One of our good listeners suggests other ways to get around mail-in voting. How about a drive-through voting location? Another one says, how about go to Walmart to vote? Even handicapped people can go there. Bottom line is there is no need for mail-in ballots for anyone. Why is waiting in line such a big problem? Harry, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for patience. Go right ahead.
Hey, no problem, guys. I have a question, and I'm asking this. I'm not making a judgment. I'm asking because it's something I truly don't understand. We have been told that we will not be able to have an accurate count of the votes in a timely fashion because counting the absentee and mail-in ballots will take forever until they verify them. However, we also hear of people standing in line to get the ballots that were undated given back to them so they can sign them, which kind of tells me it must not be that hard to track these ballots. What am I missing?
Well, they still have the name on the outside. Your signature is in plain sight when you mail it back in, and so is your name. So when they get the ballot, it says, you know, Harry, whatever your last name is, and then so they call you and say, hey, you forgot to date this. We, Philadelphia County, allow you to cure ballots. And so, of course, hundreds of people got called. Some counties don't do that. You go to rural counties in Pennsylvania, and some of them will not cure the ballots, it's called, where they call the voter and said you forgot your signature or something. So that's got to be applied evenly. This idea that one county does and another one doesn't, that's not right.
But elections are up to the county election board.
What my question is it's obviously not that hard to find the ballots, which means it shouldn't be that hard to count them. Right.
Well, you know, it's a trivia thing. People mess up on this. It's like, have you ever mailed in a DOE license, Harry? You got to follow.
I will eat deer meat all that I can get, but I've never had one take a shot at me, so I don't go after
them. Well, mailing in the DOE license application used to be like filling out a Medicare form. You know, you had a couple of pages, and you had to do it exactly right, or they'd mail it back to you. And so it's always easy to do it wrong or not put a stamp on it and that kind of thing. Well, the ballot's the same way. It only has six or seven places where you have to write anything down. But if you mess one of them up, and it's not really easy. I mean, it's easy to mess up.
I understand that, but I did it last year because my wife and I were traveling, and we were out of town over the election last year. But I actually found it to be a pretty simple process to be able to do it, and I'm just confused as to how, I don't know. I guess if you just read all the instructions and follow it line by line, but then I guess if you're voting for democracy, that's not an important enough reason to do it, right?
Well, Harry, let me draw a different illustration then. How about this? Have you ever worked in retail?
All my life.
Do all customers behave the same?
Well, no.
Okay,
no.
Well, that's the same with the ballot.
I mean, I know that, but I mean, it's just we make this as a be-all and end-all that, oh, my God, it's going to make democracy end because we can't count these votes, and yet, obviously, it's not that hard to find them.
Well, John,
I just think it's not. Yeah.
I think
John
what's interesting is Fetterman joined in on the suit. He's suing the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which is like 6-2 Democratic.
Well, but they are capable of conservative decisions, and they've already ruled on this that the vote shouldn't be counted. So, you know, he's going into a hostile Democratic court, I would say. All right, Harry, anything else to add, please?
Well, I did find it ironic, too, that the gentleman with religious studies was talking about politics and saying that religion has no form and has no place in politics. I thought that was kind of an interesting dichotomy.
All right, we got you. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
All right, speaking of lasagna, 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back. We got two callers lined up, and that'll wrap up the day.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
A lot can happen in 150 years. We've seen changes in our families, changes in our businesses, and changes in our communities. Celebrating 150 years in business means we've been through those changes, serving our most important asset, people like you. Hi, I'm Jeff Kapsler, president of Mifflinburg Bank and Trust. We're very proud of our company's history and look forward to another 150 years of serving our communities. We'll continue to provide innovative solutions to meet your financial goals, embracing technology that makes your banking experience convenient, easy, and most of all, safe. Mifflinburg Bank and Trust. We are the bank you keep for life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Looking out for you, we're in this together, working hard to make life better. Mifflinburg Bank and Trust, the bank you keep for life.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-838-4715 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-838-4715. That's 800-838-4715. What do you have to lose? Call 800-838-4715. Again, 800-838-4715.
All right. You want to read in the upper right-hand corner, please?
All right. This is from EB, and she sent a longer note, in effect saying, as she always does, Republicans bad, Democrats good. But here's her prediction.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's wrong. Prediction. Doug Mastriano will declare victory at around 11 o'clock tonight. Then, after the mail-in ballots are counted and he's roundly defeated, he'll start claiming that this is evidence of voter fraud.
All right. All right, Bob, you are on the mark. You get about 2.5 minutes. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I feel bad for EB. You guys always put her down, and then you complain women don't call your show. There's one reason why.
EB doesn't call our show.
This election misinformation.
I do not put
her
down.
Ridiculous.
I respect everything she says. She's almost always right, and she's a fabulous emailer, and I hope she sends 20
Maybe
emails.
Maybe you do, but it sounds like Joe must be the perpetrator that puts her down all the time.
Well, then, let me ask you this. Do you hear the content of her material, which is always putting people...
I like her material.
Of course you do. And
she
that's
doesn't
what
put people down.
She puts Republicans down.
No. She just points out your many, 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 many mistakes.
But ignoring the many, many, many mistakes made by Democrats.
Don't think she ignores them. She just said there's such a preponderance on the GOP
side. Well, I feel sorry for her because you guys always put her down, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. Well, your opinion is wrong.
With errors are going, you know, there's some counties that are calling up the voters and letting them know they can come in and fix them.
Right.
You know, it's only certain counties.
They should either all do it or none of them. Instead of curing, shouldn't
well,
depend
on
where
you're
Well,
they should just count them to begin with. Whether or not they missed the date on the outside of the envelope, it's dated on the post office when it was received.
Right,
correct?
but you got to follow instructions.
When it was received, it's dated when it ran through their canceling machine.
Yeah, well, now they're having it now. If it's not in by 8 p.m. tonight, even though it was mailed today, it's not going to be counted.
Well, that's all.
So
the election law has always been that way.
If they have a mail-in ballot, they better take it to their election place and take it in person. Otherwise, they're not going to be counted.
Then why not just vote in person?
I went this morning and I voted in person.
Are you happy?
Good for you. Good for you, Bob. Good for you. I voted in person, too. I got up early, was at the polls at 7 o'clock when they opened, and voted. And there were five people ahead of me.
Yeah, and you were at Planet Fitness at 5 a.m.
Not today.
6 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah, the clock change messed him up.
I hear you.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Thanks for calling in.
I have one more thing to say.
Oh.
You know, Seelings Grove football players went and vandalized locker rooms at Milton School. How ridiculous is that? They won the game. Why did they have to urinate? Can you imagine pissing on the floor?
Well, they're acting like a bunch of adolescents.
Doors. I hope they get arrested. That is so... Oh, my God. The
institutional vandalism.
Not the people that are paying taxes in our county paying for this destruction.
Yep, institutional vandalism.
Be of good cheer because the Seelings Grove administration says they're dealing with it holistically. That gives me such great confidence.
Don't you worry about a thing.
We're doing holistic examinations.
We'll still play football. Don't you worry. We have our priorities. Go ahead, Cindy. You're on the mark.
Well, if they were on my football team, they wouldn't be playing football for the rest of the year, that's for sure. But I called, first of all, to tell everyone that I voted this morning, and I voted a split ticket, as I suggested yesterday. And then I came home and texted my family members to remind them that it was election day, and every one of them texted me back, this is at 9 a.m., that they had already voted. I was thrilled to see such a participation rate. Don't you think that's great?
Yep.
And then I just want to say this about the date. Anytime I have ever written my signature that I can think of in my 67 years, what is the next thing I'm required to put? The date.
Right.
That validates the signature. In the absence of the date on a contract, it's not validated, and they'll return it for you to put a date. And that's true if you write a check. That's true if you try to open an account. That's true if you try to seek medical services and you're signing your consent. I mean, that is just universally expected. So I don't get why in this particular instance it should not also be true. If what did they call it, superfluous or unimportant? If that
immaterial.
Were true, then
irrelevant.
Why am I doing
immaterial.
It all day, every day, everywhere I go, everything I try to do?
Right.
That just makes no sense to me. And I don't believe they should be in the business of correcting ballots, because where will that correcting end? First, you tell me they're just going to write a signature on here, and the next thing they're going to do is fix the person's, write a date. Then they're going to correct their signature, and the next thing I know, they're going to be filling out the empty spaces on the ballot.
There you go.
No, thank you.
Well, as you know, it wasn't a very long ballot this morning. I think there were four offices, and that was it.
All right. State House, Governor, Senator, and what else?
Governor, Senator, State House. I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's three.
It.
Oh, Congress. Congress.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for listening, folks. This is WKOK Sunbury.
You're out, you're about, but you want your Dan Patrick. Well, good news, he goes...